Open up in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I love the book of Romans. And those of you that have been Bible Institute students of mine, especially those in my Romans class, and those of you that have come out to Freedom Found on Monday nights, know that I love the book of Romans. It's so rich, it's so full of just great doctrine, great teaching, great application, and just a great book with just showing forth the freedom and the liberty that we have in Christ, and how awesome it is to know the freedom that we have in Christ. And I mean, what a great place to go. In my mind here a couple days before Independence Day, but to a book that talks a lot about the freedom that is in Christ. But I wonder if how many people know this, that really if you look at the truth of the subject of Independence Day, do you know that July 4th actually isn't the true Independence Day? Anybody, how many know that? Maybe a couple people. Yeah, do you know that actually if you were to legally look at it, Independence Day would actually be tonight, today, July 2nd. You see, July 2nd was the day that the Continental Congress got together and voted to go independent from England. This was the day that it officially happened. The problem is like with most groups of a certain size, they can't agree on everything. So there were some issues with the declaration of their independence. And you can't send a declaration out, all right, to the party that you want to move away from without it being, you know, how you like it. Okay? You can't send it off later on and go, no, wait a minute, we made a mistake. Let's just pause everything and then we're going to resend it. No, so they had to haggle for a couple days and kind of talk around a bit until they finally settled down on what they all could agree on. In fact, it's kind of interesting, John Adams wrote a letter to his wife about the events of July 2nd. He was all excited and on fire and said that people will celebrate this day, July 2nd, for ages to come. And it's kind of cool that he puts down there that they'll celebrate with fireworks and with parties and with gunfire. And he also puts on there, and of course I'm kind of paraphrasing his letter, but he puts on there in devotion to God. Isn't that cool? Isn't that awesome? Man, he was close. He was close. He was only off by 2 days. So I said, hey, wouldn't that be great? Let's have a message that's focusing on this freedom we have in Christ, on the actual true Independence Day. So if you got neighbors that like to fire fireworks, you know, all week, ours have been going off for the last 2 weeks. You can't get on them tonight, because really tonight is the true Independence Day. So one of the things, though, about that awesome event, and wasn't that a great presentation by Adam Levy doing about the Pledge of Allegiance and the flag? I mean, that was fantastic. That summed it up really good. Really fantastic. I mean, what the flag represents. What's so exciting about that event, what's great about that event, is it didn't come easy. Let me tell you what, they didn't just sign the Declaration of Independence, send it off to England, and the King of England go, oh, okay, here you go. Have your country. Go have fun. No, it took a lot of work, a lot of sacrifice. They had to sacrifice a lot to gain the freedom that we enjoy today. Listen, it didn't come cheap. Men and women faced insurmountable odds, insurmountable struggles. They made sacrifices every day to get this freedom that we have. And listen, we talk a lot about our founding fathers, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, Samuel Adams, all of them, okay, that got together. And listen, folks, they sacrificed a lot for this. If this experiment, they called it the Great American Experiment, if it didn't work, if the British overwhelmed them, they could have been hung for treason. They put everything on the line. If they didn't get hung for treason, they could have lost their lands. They could have been thrown in prison for the rest of their lives. They put everything they had on the line for this freedom. They served for this great and glorious purpose. And listen, true service takes sacrifices. True service takes sacrifices. And listen, it's awesome that they did everything that they did to give us the freedom that we have here. But you know what? There's a greater freedom that we gain. And we get that greater freedom through Jesus Christ. He doesn't just give us a freedom that is just kind of for a temporary time. He gives us an everlasting freedom, an everlasting liberty that we can look forward to. And I think in mind of this everlasting liberty, it should really push us to the point of that idea of sacrifice to serve. Just like the founding fathers and all the colonial citizens gave everything and sacrificed everything for the possibility of freedom, we should be willing to sacrifice for our Lord and Savior in service to Him. And this portion of Scripture here, it's two verses. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And it really is the definition of freedom and sacrifice in a nutshell. And I love these verses. I've used it a lot in messages. I go back to it a lot. But it has just a lot of great things to say about this idea of sacrifice in service to the Lord. Let's take a look at it right now. Look at Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 1. Paul writes here, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you for tonight and for this opportunity to preach your word. And Lord, I pray that this will be a night that, Lord, we just humble ourselves before you. We just seek to lay aside our concerns and our desires, and just really seek your truth and really seek what you have to say about this idea here. Lord, I pray that we'll just have a soft heart ready to learn and grow from your truth. Lord, I pray to be used mightily by you. Fill me with the Holy Spirit to share your truth. Lord, they don't need my wisdom, they need yours, Lord. Just use me as your tool tonight. And Lord, I pray that we'll see these great principles from your word and we'll have the strength and the courage to apply them in our life. And Lord, we just seek to give you the glory in all things. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. There's a real key point here that he's saying in this passage. And there's a role that we play here. And it all focuses around this idea of being a sacrifice. But he says here, Paul says, listen, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You see, we get the idea of the type of person, the type of believer we should be. That living sacrifice. Now, it's kind of interesting. He doesn't just say sacrifice, right? Because what happens to a sacrifice when it's made? It's dead. We can't do much good, right, when we're gone. You know, I always like the phrase, there's the one thing you can't do when you're in heaven, and that's share your faith with others. No, he says you're a living sacrifice. I mean, how funny would that be if back in the Old Testament days, the dove or the cow or the sheep, you know, was brought before, and they said, yeah, you know, high priest, hey, today I don't think I want to die. You know, can I just give maybe a hoof, you know? Now, that wouldn't happen, would it? Now we get to be living sacrifices. Living sacrifices. That's the goal. That's what we should be doing. That's kind of the role we should play, a living sacrifice down here. See, a sacrifice gives himself to the bidding of someone else. Just like that sacrifice in Old Testament days, okay, that animal, it put itself in the hands of the high priest to do what he had to do. See, us as a living sacrifice, we put ourselves in the hands of the Lord to do his service, to be a sacrifice unto him. And so tonight we're going to take a look at this passage here and see three principles on how you can sacrifice to serve. How you can be that living sacrifice in service to the Lord. And the first way is by yielding your life unto Christ. You need to yield your life unto Christ. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You present your bodies. It's the idea of yielding. Listen, in order to gain the great freedom, okay, that our founding fathers sought, they had to sacrifice. They had to give up a lot of their comforts, a lot of their day-to-day things in order to fight for freedom. You look at the story of George Washington and what he left behind, and all the men and women who followed the army, all those that just left their farms in order to fight for this great, great new experiment. They left their families. Many of them, if they were caught by the British, they would lose their lives because they were seen as treasonous. Most would be dealt super harshly if they were ever caught. Lose their lands. Lose their families. Be sent to prison. And listen, what drove them towards this level of sacrifice is that they were completely and totally yielded to the cause before them. They would take it all the way to the bitter end. They desired freedom so much, that they would give themselves over to whatever circumstances came their way. Listen, it took a total commitment on their part to fight this war that they fought, to follow this dream that they had. I think about Washington's army in Valley Forge. Anybody know what happened in Valley Forge? They had to endure one of the harshest winters ever. There was hardly any protection for the troops. Most of them didn't even have boots. They had been rotted away through all the months of fighting. It was the harshest winter that had ever hit. And yet they endured. They stayed in the encampment. They fought through that winter. They endured the circumstances around them. Why? Because of the greater dream ahead of them. And listen, just as they endured through their circumstances, just as they yielded themselves to that purpose, that focus of freedom. Listen, if you're going to truly serve Christ, if you're really truly going to be that sacrifice unto service, it's going to take a lot more than just showing up on church property and doing a little extra. You know, it's going to take a lot more than, you know, maybe I'll come to Wednesday night too. It's going to take a little bit more that, well, maybe I'll go to, you know, maybe I'll clean the children's building, wow, one day a quarter. It's going to take a lot more than just your basic physical activity. It's going to take a lot more than just a basic being there. Sacrifice asks for much, much more than that. Listen, it's going to take a greater level of sacrifice, a greater level of commitment. Remember what Paul wrote here about being this living sacrifice. He said, present your bodies a living sacrifice. He didn't just say, present your hand. Okay? He didn't just say, present a foot. Present your head. No, he said the whole thing. Present your bodies. It's an all-in kind of affair. It's the idea of yielding your life over to the Lord. It's the idea of saying, Lord, thank you for another wonderful day ahead of me. I know the alarm clock got me up a lot earlier than I wanted to. But it's a joy to have another day. Whatever it is you want me to do, I'll do it. Whatever it is you need me to do, I'll do it. Whatever gaps there may be in service to you, I'll fill it. You know, it's a wonderful day in the life of my wife here when I get up on a Saturday and say, hey, I have nothing to do. I'm here. The big smile rises on her face. Awesome. Here's your list. You know? And we get things done. That's the idea. It's no conditions. I don't ever go to Shauna and say, hey, I'll do whatever it is you need me to do as long as it's not this, 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 and this. Right? Is that a sacrifice for my wife? Is that a total commitment to the job at hand? No. And that's the idea here that Paul is saying. It's a total yielding your life unto Christ. Whatever it is you need me to do. Listen, I know I may not be the best children's teacher, but if you got a gap one day, I'll do my best and try not to, you know, get those kids too riled up. You know, that was one of the greatest things I ever did. I had the opportunity to help Clint be a WANA commander one year. I'd never done anything with children's ministry. That was totally new to me. And what a great, great experience. I learned that I'm really not a children's pastor. I did. But I did learn that if I needed to be, I'll do it. And you know, that's the idea. That's all he's looking for. That's all he's looking for. Is for us to be that living sacrifice, just yielded unto him. To be a true sacrifice, you've got to yield your life unto Christ. I mean, what do you do when you yield? I mean, we do it probably every day when we're driving down the road, I hope. You know, you see that yield sign? What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to slow down and let the other person go, right? You know, if you're driving down, you know, and you're kind of curving into the road and you see the yield sign, you go, I'm not going to yield. Vroom, you gun it. You may not be having a happy day, okay? You may be having to make some phone calls, hopefully not from the emergency room. No, what do? You slow down or you stop to let the other person have their way. And that's what God is telling us. That's what being a living sacrifice, presenting our bodies unto God, it's slowing down or stopping what we want to do and saying, God, have it your way. It's your way. It's yielding unto him. We're here in Romans. Go over to Romans chapter 6. You see, the thing you have to watch out for is there's a danger. See, the Christian life is never a gray, wishy-washy kind of thing. You can't be straddling the fence. You're either all in this way or all in another. Look at verse 12, Romans 6, verse 12. He says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Look at this. He says, neither yield, there's that word, yield, ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. See, he says, that's the idea of giving your life over to that sin. Not doing anything to resist it. The temptation comes, you give right into it. Yielding yourself to unrighteousness. But he says, but yield yourselves unto what? God. Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That's that total sacrifice. That's that presenting your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. It's a total yielding unto Christ. What this means is that you give God's truth the priority in your life. Whatever his word says, rightly divided, that's how you guide your life. You give his truth the priority, and you follow after his principles and not what you want to believe or feel. You see, too many believers, what they do is they rather follow what they think is a godly way of living. What feels like the right way, the right path. But that's not what God tells us. He doesn't tell us to go after what we feel. He doesn't tell us to go after what we think we should go after. We need to go after his word, his principles. And listen, this may mean that you have to give up something that you've been holding on to. It may mean that something you maybe really enjoy, but you find out that, you know what? God says, no, that's not a good thing. You got to give it up. Are you willing to become that living sacrifice? Are you willing to take that step to make the sacrifices you need to yield your life unto Christ? To present yourself to God and say, here I am. Whatever it is you need me to do, I'll fill the gap. I'll serve in that way. I'll do whatever you need. Listen, in light of what Christ has accomplished for you through the cross, you know, it all goes back to the cross, what he did for us. Listen, there should be no reason not to yield your life unto his truth. I mean, think about what he sacrificed, what he gave for you. It really should be a no-brainer to become that living sacrifice. That idea of saying, you know what, I really enjoy that TV program, but man, I need to work on that Bible lesson. Let me turn that off. Maybe it's not as fun sitting there with your nose in the books as watching that football game or whatever it is. But you know what? If it needs to get done, are you willing to make that sacrifice? Christ gave it all for you. Are you willing to be that sacrifice unto him? Listen, this is what Paul is saying here in verse 1. He says, I beseech you, therefore. Listen, he's not just asking them. He's not just telling them. He's beseeching. He's like down on his knees. He's saying, please, if anything, get this point. Understand what I'm trying to tell you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, because of God's mercy. See, we didn't deserve his mercy, but he gave it freely. By his mercy, present yourselves that living sacrifice. When you try to keep a tight grip on your own control. I want to do what I want to do. Instead of yielding unto Christ, you can start to forget about that tremendous sacrifice that Christ made for you. And as you start to take your eyes off of that sacrifice that Christ made, you start forgetting about this passage right here, where God shows us that his desire is for us to be a living sacrifice. And what happens is pride starts to fill that void. And selfishness and all of that starts to puff us up. And listen, God says there's nothing unreasonable about what I'm asking you to do. And that's the coolest thing about being this living sacrifice, is that he will help you every step of the way. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And here's the kicker, which is your reasonable service. It just makes sense. It's reasonable, God says. But that's what's great about this passage that we're looking at here. Romans 1 and 2 is a great example of how God works. You see, God never just says, here you go, this is what you're supposed to do, now go live the Christian life. No, he says, listen, this is the desire. This is the goal. And then he tells you step by step how to get there. Just like being this living sacrifice, the first step is yielding your life unto Christ. But then verse 2, he carries it on. Look what he says here in verse 2. He then says, and be not conformed to this world. There's the next step. And that brings us to our second point. How are you going to be that sacrifice to serve? Well, by yielding your life unto Christ, but then by refusing to conform to the world system. Refusing to conform to the way this world thinks and acts. You know, the citizens of the British colonies in America back in the 18th century, they had a decision to make. They could conform to the discretion of the king and continue to be taxed without representation, continue to have troops forced into their homes, continue to have all of their economic plus going to England instead of the colonies. They could continue to be living in the bondage to the whims of the king. Or they could refuse to conform to that system and step out and resist what was set out before them. Listen, without the drive to refuse the oppressive rule of the king in that day, the revolution would never have started, or if it did, it would have been crushed quickly. But common people were driven by a greater purpose. By a greater purpose. And listen, there is an oppressor in your life that seeks to keep you in bondage, seeks to keep you from serving the Lord, seeks to keep you from being that living sacrifice. And that sin, this world system, and the one who runs it, doing everything they can to keep you in that bondage. Sin will keep you from sacrificially serving. You've got to refuse to conform to the world's system. If you're to truly serve Christ, to become that living sacrifice, you've got to refuse the way the world wants you to live. You must not conform to this worldly worldview. The word conform means to fashion alike. It means to conform to the same pattern. I always think about when I was a kid playing with Play-Doh. Play-Doh is really cool, a lot of fun. And we had the Play-Doh press, okay? You'd lift up the lever, and you'd take your Play-Doh, and you'd stick it down in there, and then you had this slide with all these different shapes, right? There'd be a circle, there'd be a star, there'd be a line, there'd be like a bunch of little small circles. And you'd line it up with the hole, and then you'd squeeze that thing down, the Play-Doh would come out. And whatever shape was on that slide right at the opening, that Play-Doh would conform to that shape. That's the idea here of conforming. Don't conform to the world. We should be unique. You know, we should be following God's path, not that path. People should see a difference. It's like not too long ago when I was getting on my two older kids for something. Who knows? I think it was just siblings, you know, what they do. And I had them standing right before me, and I'm getting on them like this, and then my finger is going, and I'm kind of trying to keep from chuckle because that's what my dad used to do. And I'm like, I become my dad. And I'm doing that, and I see the spit flying and all the stuff. And I'm giving them the whole deal. And next thing I know, I hear this little voice right along with me. Every time I spoke, I heard this. And I look down, and there's my 2-year-old, Mackenzie, matching me finger for finger, word for word, getting on her siblings. Even the angle of the body. I mean, she literally was totally conformed to my image at that point. And that totally blew the whole moment. I forgot what I was getting on them about, and I had to quickly leave the room before they saw me laugh at her disobedience. Yeah, that's the idea of that conforming, being just like something else. And listen, it wasn't Mackenzie's job to get on her brother and sister. Okay, she was conforming herself to the wrong thing at that time. Yeah, that's the idea. Listen, what does your life reflect more? Does it reflect the world? Or does it reflect Christ? If you were to ask somebody, hey, what have I been reflecting? Do I remind you more of the world or Christ? What would they say? What would they say? Listen, the world may look flashy, may look wonderful, but it only leads to emptiness. The Bible calls it vain, empty. It may be fun for a while, but it only leads to more trouble. More trouble. 1 Corinthians 3:19 says, "For the wisdom of the world," or the wisdom of this world, "is foolishness with God." It's foolishness. Foolishness. "For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness." It's foolishness. And that's the trouble with following after feelings or thoughts. It's like I tell everyone in Freedom Found, a half-truth, guess what? It's still a lie. It's still a lie. It'll still lead you to the same destination. The wages of sin is death. Too many believers have placed their faith and trust in Christ. And instead of becoming living sacrifices unto God, just serving Him, they followed the world. They followed the world. Listen, the world system, Satan's system, seeks to trap you in all sorts of exciting, engaging, feel-good situations. I don't know who it was, I can't remember, but it was an interesting comment out on Facebook. They said, "Isn't it amazing out on Facebook that you post something having to do with the Bible and you barely get anybody to like it? But you post some goofy video of, you know, a cat getting a can stuck on its head and it's got 500 hits, you know, likes on it. Or, you know, somebody singing a song really badly and boy, there's thousands of hits." You know? What are we conforming ourselves to? I always think of the sad story of Demas. You know, Demas in Philemon, when Paul was writing that letter, Paul says about him, he says, "Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas," and he calls all them "my fellow laborers." Wow, Demas is a fellow laborer of Paul. But then in 2 Timothy 4, the beginning of verse 10, he says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." I mean, think about that. That's Demas' testimony. That's his testimony for eternity. He served the Lord and then forsake his service. What's your testimony? What's your testimony? When people see you, who do they see? Do they see the world system or do they see Christ? To truly serve God, it will take sacrifice. You may have to give up something that you truly enjoyed. Well, listen, if it pulls you away from a growing relationship with Christ, then it's truly not as fun as you may think it is. It's only going to leave you empty and wondering what happened later on down the road. And it's really not that important. In order to become that living sacrifice and service unto God, you must yield your life unto Christ, and you must refuse to conform to this world. And the last point is how can you become that living sacrifice in service? Well, by changing the way you think. You got to change the way you think. You can't think along your old worldview anymore. It's got to be new. One of the most important principles for becoming a living sacrifice is changing your thought life. Listen, God not only tells us here to not conform to this world, but that we should be transformed. Transformed. Verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." That word transform means to change into another form. It's where we get the word metamorphosis. You know, the caterpillar makes a cocoon and comes out a butterfly. Metamorphosis, changing into something new and beautiful. You know, those caterpillars are ugly and spiny and hairy, and they leave all that goo on you when you try and pick them up, you know? I don't know what it was, but when I was in Okinawa, there was a time period in the spring, I think it was, spring or fall, there would literally be hundreds of caterpillars out on the roads and everything, moving all over the place. And we'd be going out for PT, running, and you'd be like, you know? And you're just like, and you get back to your barracks room and you're having to scrape off, you know, caterpillar goo. You know, they're just ugly, nasty, bleh, and they stink, you know? But don't they become something wonderful and beautiful? That's the idea. Be transformed. Get that stinky goo thoughts out of your head. Don't think like that caterpillar. You know? Change your thinking. You got to be transformed into those beautiful thoughts that Christ gives us. Listen, your life should reflect something new. Something new in Christ from the person you were before. And he says here, the change comes by the renewing of your mind. That word renewing means a renovation. It's a total, complete change. Okay? You know, Pastor Dan used the illustration once of a new house. Like if you bought a foreclosure and they just trashed it. All right? You don't just go in and hang new curtains and woo, there you go. Right? We got a new house. No, you clear all the old junk out and replace it with new. You renovate. You got to take your thinking, okay, and pop it out and kick it to the curb. Just, I'm telling you, give up on it. However you thought before Christ, forget it. Consider it all foolish. Remember, he says, God said everything of this world system is foolish to him, and replace it with his truth. You stand on his truth, and you'll become that living sacrifice. Your perspective of life must change from what it was before you knew Christ as Lord and Savior. No longer do you base your thoughts, decisions, and belief off the world's viewpoints, but you now filter it through God's Word. You filter it through God's Word. I had a person once I was leading through and helping with addictions, and they had one struggle, okay? And they had, a couple struggles, and they said, you know what? I think what God wants me to do is tackle this first one first, and then I can tackle all the rest. And I said, great, awesome. Now, do you want me to tell you what you really said? And he stopped and he looked at me. I said, this is what you really said. God, I don't know you and I don't care for what you said. I want to do my own thing. Because his word says I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The Bible says he's there to help us through no matter what our struggles may be. And once you get your thinking on the right path, now you can start handling things properly. I think of Ephesians chapter 4, where it talks about the old man. What are we supposed to do with the old man? Put him off. And then be renewed in our mind. Renew our thinking. Okay? But then replace what we got rid of with the new man, the good stuff. Take your old life, your old thoughts, pop it out, and start filling that gap with God's truth. Start standing on God's truth. Listen, to be a true living sacrifice, there must be a deliberate change of thinking in your life. You can't hold on to old worldly ways of thinking and trying to justify your actions and then be that sacrifice. You must change the way you think. And it's got to be based on God's word. So here in conclusion, God gives us clear direction as to becoming a living sacrifice in service unto him right here in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I mean, just two simple verses. I mean, he goes all throughout it, but those two verses, what great clear direction. But there's a greater purpose for all this. What's the whole point? I just serve to God until I die and then, woo, we're in heaven? No, he says there's a greater purpose. Look at the end of verse 2. He says, you're to not conform to this world. You're to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen, the ultimate reason for becoming a living sacrifice unto Christ, the whole point of all this is that you will then think about this. Think about what God is telling you here. You will become the living proof of God's will. As you're going about your day, if anybody ever wants to know what God's will is, they'll be able to go, hey, look at that person. Why? Because they're going to see Christ. Your life will become that living testimony for the gospel. You will be that living outreach ministry everywhere you go. Your whole focus will be looking for people that you can lead to Christ, and they will see it in your life. The people at work will be like, this person's always on time. They're always doing hard work. They're always turning in stuff when they need to turn in. They're being a joy to everyone around them. How is it that you can do all that diligently day in and day out, and you can say Christ, and they'll believe it? You have somebody who their life is a mess, and they see a coworker who's just, their life is even worse, but yet they're filled with peace and they're filled with joy. And the person goes up to them and says, how can you endure through what you're facing? How can you have this peace and this joy? And they'll be able to say, because of Jesus Christ. And the person will believe it. Why? Because they've become that living proof of God's perfect will. See, our purpose here in Christ isn't just to have joy and peace while we work 40 hours a week, okay, and raise a retirement fund, have a white picket fence and two dogs and 2.5 kids, whatever they say the average is for a family, okay, and a nice two cars, so that then we can die or raptured out and go, okay, there we go. No. It's to be that living sacrifice, looking for those opportunities for people who need Christ to see it in us. So then we can lead them to his word. So they can trust in him. Have that joy, that peace, the sealing of the Holy Spirit. So they can become that living sacrifice. And it continues. See, I can only reach so many people. But listen, look at this room right out here. If every single person just became that living sacrifice and took the opportunities that came our way, and if we didn't have opportunities, we looked for them. Think about the people that we would reach for Christ. Think about the multitudes of new people that we would get to spend eternity with. And that's what Paul is writing here. That's what God is telling us through him, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to become that living sacrifice, to give up this worldly system, to give up the worldliness in our lives and just present ourselves to him and say, Lord, I'm here. Use me how you need me.